Hey y'all, it's Crystal.
And it's Samantha, and this is Serialholic Sisters.
True crime shit. Hey girl, hey.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hope everyone's been enjoying their holiday season. I
It's
certainly
my
have.
me too. I'm off work for I don't go back to work until the 3rd of January.
Oh my God, what are you, a teacher? You don't have winter vacation. What is this?
But I do, and I'm not a teacher.
Lucky. Well, I go back tomorrow, so screw you.
Yeah, that sucks for you.
It
It's
really
real
does.
nice, except I'm home at the same time as my children and my husband, and I'm going a little stir crazy. Don't mind me. No, I'm just kidding. It's not bad. It's just when you're trying to clean and they're behind you messing it all up, it doesn't help.
No. It's not fun to clean a room and then go to the next room and then turn around. The room you just cleaned is like a tornado went through. I would
Yeah,
lose my
so
shit.
I have a little bit, so some here and there. But it's
Everything's
okay.
fine.
Everything's okay.
So yeah, any fun news or anything?
No.
Yeah, me either.
Oh, I thought you were like expecting me to say something.
You're like, what am
No,
I supposed to talk about?
I know we're supposed to, I mean, if you want to call it exciting, it's actually kind of sad, but
What
we
sad
have to
news?
go. Well, we have to go car shopping. It's
Oh,
sad because I
you
have
know,
to spend a lot of money.
hey, shut up.
No,
Yeah,
but
most
yeah.
people, the idea of car shopping is fun, but most people hate it. Like, it's usually a terrible, terrible experience.
The idea actually gives me major anxiety.
Same, same.
So I'm not
And
looking forward to it.
Dana just had a terrible experience. She bought a new car in October and has had the car maybe a total of 2 weeks since then. Like it's been crazy.
Wait, October and it's almost
Yes.
January?
Yeah, like she took the car and then there was issues with it, not like mechanical, but things that they were supposed to do, like issues with the tinting that they were supposed to, like that she paid for, and
Oh, okay.
the tire was screwed up, and so they're like, oh, well, we'll replace it for free. And
Oh
so
my
they take it there
gosh.
and they fucking scratched the shit out of her fancy ass rim, right? Yeah. And then to fix the rim, she goes back to pick it up because they're like, oh, we got it all fixed. They didn't like buff it out or try to replace the rim. They just like crudely painted over it with black because they're black rims. And there was like little drip prints, like, yeah. She is livid, and I am so ready for this to all be over because it is insane. She's literally been in a rental car since like October.
I literally would say I don't want the car anymore and
She has. She
make them
has.
refund it and her go somewhere else.
She's so upset too because she's waited so long to buy a new car because she had her car paid off and was been saving up forever.
Yes.
They completely ruined the experience. It's awful.
Oh no.
Yeah. So good luck with that. Good luck with buying your new car.
Yeah, thanks. It
I'm
is
sure
my
she'll be
week.
excited about hearing that about that too because she's just been pissed about it forever.
Way to bring up bad
I know. She's like,
experiences.
let me listen to this podcast and get all this terrible shit off my mind. And then I'm just talking about it.
No.
So, sorry, boo.
Any
Any Hoosier.
hooser, it is my week.
Hey, Hoosier.
I did. I did say that.
Thought I was just gonna let that fly
We're just gonna pass on by that. So it's my week.
It's yours. It's yours. The week is yours.
The week is mine. I'll just take it by the, what is it? Take it by the horns or something? I
Grab
don't
the bull
know.
by the
Anyways,
horns. What's
maybe.
happening?
Okay. I don't know.
Okay.
So this case actually hits pretty close to home.
Are you doing the Bloody Benders?
So
Because those are real
no,
close to your home.
this one is too. I have to say, I never personally knew Jody, who is who we're gonna do this case over. However, one of my best friends grew up in this town and they did know the family.
Oh.
And in fact, one of her sisters, I believe, was friends with Jody.
Okay.
So we're just gonna get right into it. So this is the case of Jody Leanne Sanderholm. So Jody was born in 1987 to Brian and Cindy Sanderholm. She had a sister, Jennifer, and a brother, Jason. Jody was 19 years old and was a college student in 2006. And they lived in a small town in Kansas called Ark City. So this town, it's like 12 to 13,000 residents. It's an hour out of Wichita, Kansas.
Okay.
So it's like right by Wichita. And I mean, I live in a small town and everybody just knows everybody,
Yeah.
you know? And this is the case here. Everybody knew everybody. I mean, everything was pretty much driving distance, you know, it definitely was not a large place to live. Jody was loved by everyone she knew. And in fact, everyone that described her said that she was so caring and she was such a lovely person that she would help anybody that needed it without question. So Jody was 19 years old and was a college student, but she did live with her parents in Ark City while she went to college. They owned a small business. Take that up.
Like a Tizan. I thought you were doing like a Snoop Dogg type thing. Well,
I
okay.
know. No, they owned a small business called Ark City Glass. So, being a small business owner, you know, it's kind of important to know everybody too, because you just continue to build that clientele that come in and customers and everything. You just kind of get to know everybody. And this is the case. Everybody knew Jody, and everybody loved her, and her parents were just, you know, great people. Well, she was the youngest of her two siblings, so her sister Jennifer and her brother Jason were older, and they actually were old enough that they did not live there with her parents. So it was just Jody in the house. She loved to dance. She was a dancer since she was a little girl. She was captain of the dance team in high school. And after graduating high school, she became a Tigerette at Cali Community College, which was nearby her house. So she wasn't like majoring in dancing, but being, you know, so good at it, it helped her in community college get scholarships and stuff like that. So in high school, Jody was extremely smart. So she was part of the National Honor Society. She was a Kansas State Scholar, a Kansas Board of Regional Scholar, and she even earned the Outstanding Physics Student Award. So
Okay, girl. I see you.
yes. So she was just an all in all around, you know, great kid, great student. And she even was dating her high school sweetheart, Colby Wilson. Her and Colby actually planned to move after 1 year of community college when she finished her pre-pharmacy studies. He was going to Texas Tech and she was going to move to be closer to him. So dance is kind of a huge part in this case. And so we'll just kind of get
Dance is
right
a huge
into it.
part.
And you'll understand why. So, not that like dance was the reason or anything, but so Jody was super nervous and on edge for a couple weeks leading to the disaster that happened to her. She had a huge performance coming up that she had actually choreographed herself because she wanted it to be perfect. Yeah. So Jody started receiving phone calls while she was at practice and right after practice in the parking lot. So they would call her, but then they'd hang up.
That's
So
rude.
it was really
Like on
kind
her
of,
cell phone?
yeah. So they would call her and they would hang up on her.
See, that's why we don't answer numbers we don't know. I never answer a number
Well,
I don't know because I'm like, if it's important, they'll leave a voicemail and I'll call back.
right, but it was 2000, like early 2000s, you know,
I still
so
didn't answer then.
I mean, same, but like other girls that went to the same school, you know, they were reporting it too. They noticed like she would get these phone
I mean, that'd
calls.
be
She'd say
annoying if it
hello.
kept happening.
Yes. Other girls on the team and other girls that actually just went to the same community college had reported having like slashed tires and keyed cars
Oh
too
my
in the
God.
parking lot.
Were other
Yes.
people
So
getting the phone calls too, or no?
they
Not
weren't
that you
getting the
know of.
phone calls. Yeah. So one day, Jody's best friend Lori was, this is pretty creepy, but Lori was driving home from practice and she noticed a car following super close behind her. So she kind of got a really bad feeling and actually drove to the police station and sat in her car.
Oh, wow.
She was actually going to get out and file a police report, but the car drove off, so she ended up just like leaving without the filing the report.
Yeah.
And she actually noted that she forgot about the incident and just like continued on going to practice and, you know, her everyday life and everything.
That's so creepy.
It is.
Like, what if she hadn't gone to the police station?
Who
That's
knows?
that makes sense. You always, if something creeps y'all out, go to the like call the police station or something like that. Like, there's that one time, remember when I was running at the park?
Yes.
It was like wintertime, so it was dark pretty early. So it was, I wasn't there late. It was like 6 or something like that. But I'm running on the track and there's nobody there but me. And then all of a sudden this car pulls up in the parking spot and then just parks there and stays there. I'm still running. I've still got like 30 minutes of running. So just sits there the entire 30 minutes I'm still running. And I was so creeped out by it that I literally called the police and waited. They said, don't get to your car, because they parked right next to my car. There was all these parking spots and they parked right
I
next to
remember
my car.
this.
Yeah. And so I called the cops and they were like, don't go to your car until we get there. We're sending a car. And then the cops came and like parked right beside them and got out and we're talking to them. And then that's when I got to my car and left. Like, don't risk it, people. Like, she was smart to do that.
No, and that kind of reminds me of what happened recently near you too. The runner that
Yes,
she was a
Eliza.
teacher.
Yeah, she was running early in the morning and got grabbed. I'm so sad.
It was sad. So, she actually noted that she forgot about the incident and just like continued on going to practice. And on the afternoon of January 5th, 2007, on her usual walk to the parking lot after dance practice, a car drives up, and she remembered the day that she was followed and noticed that it was the same car that had followed her. She was able to get a look at who was in the car, and she actually knew who it was.
Oh,
It was a guy named Justin Thurber.
Thurber. That's a fun name to say.
So Justin was known in the community. Like he was like a petty, he did like petty theft. He kind of got in trouble with the law here and there.
Okay.
He was kind of a loner. He did
He was
not
a
hang out with like the same
scoundrel.
sure. He just didn't hang out with the same type of people as, you know,
A hooligan.
like,
Yes.
yeah, he just, yeah. And he wasn't somebody that the girls like were ever around or made conversations with. They just like knew of him.
Oh, that's creepy. And not
So,
creepy that they knew of him, but creepy that he's like following them around.
Well, after he drove off, Lori walked to her car and she finds her tire was slashed.
That shit's
So
expensive, bro. Like, stop slashing people's tires.
it is, but it's also like it's kind of gut-wrenching when you think about it too. Like, why?
Like
Why did they, why do you, why are, why is he targeting, you
you,
know,
right.
the dance team?
Also, that's creepy
And
that he's like immobilizing them. Like, he could come back at any time and they can't go anywhere because their tire is
100%,
slashed.
100%. So it's extremely, it's awful. So, of course, she did what most of her friends would do, or most of my friends would do, anyways. And she called her best friend Jody to see if she was okay, because she had already left practice. But Jody didn't answer.
Oh no.
So, this is where she got like a really bad gut feeling. And she called, you know, several times and just didn't, just wasn't answering. So, January 5th, 2007 would be a nightmare. So this day was the day of Jody's abduction, and it was just like any other day. Jennifer, Jody's sister, was pregnant. She was actually 2 days overdue to have her baby. She was
Oh.
expecting a little girl.
That's annoying. That's the worst, being overdue. I feel
It
you,
is.
girl. I had one that was 20 days overdue, so. Remember, she was due on the 2nd. She was born on the
Oh, I know.
22nd when I told them to induce, and they were like, "Oh, I thought you didn't want to induce." And I was like, "Yeah, a month ago when she was due."
No, I didn't have any that were overdue, but I wanted all of them out of me.
Right. Get the demon out of me.
But she was expecting a little girl, and Jennifer got up and around and decided to go to lunch with a friend of hers in Blue Springs. They were determined to walk this baby out of her. Jennifer lived like 11 hours away from where Jody and her mom were. Let's just put that out there too. And around 1:30 in the afternoon, Jennifer got a call from her mom, Cindy, asking if she had heard from Jody that day. She thought about it and she hadn't. So Cindy was like, could you call her? Because she's not answering my calls. And she thought maybe because Jennifer was super pregnant and she was due to have her baby, that if Jennifer tried,
That she'd answer.
she would answer because she was kind of like on call in a way for
Right.
her.
So just to interject, that totally cracks me up because that makes me think of a conversation I had with your mother yesterday when she was talking about if she calls you, you don't answer, but if she calls you from dad's phone, you answer.
That is not true. So she said the same thing to me, and that is not true. I'm just gonna go out there and say that every time she calls me is in the worst time possible.
Right, you're just like right in the middle of doing something.
It is not like she calls me and I ignore it, and then 2 seconds later, dad calls me and I answer it. That is not at all what happens. Not at all.
she's
She
saying that
calls
yesterday, and it
me.
cracked me up.
She calls me, and if I don't answer, then it's because she calls me in the worst possible time and I'm doing something. Or I really honestly didn't even know that she called because I'm ridiculous and I'll set my phone down and I'll forget where I put it and I have to look for it. And I don't always answer dad's call either. You can
I'm
ask him, it's gone to voicemail and he's left a voicemail before.
all I'm saying is stop ignoring your mother. No, it was funny because when she was talking about it was cracking me up because I've thought about times when she calls when I'm just like my hands are in soapy water washing dishes or something like that. I'm like, I can't get the phone right now. But then so I'll think to myself, oh, I'll call her back when I'm done with this. But every time dad calls me, I do answer because he doesn't call that often. So like I'll be at work and all of a sudden my phone will ring and it says daddy and I'm like, oh God, something must be wrong. And so I answer it and he's all like,
Right.
have you watched this show? And I'm like, oh my, what?
I know. I know. And that's the same thing for me. Like, dad doesn't call me often. And if he does call me, I immediately answer too because I'm like, okay, well, if he's calling me, then something's wrong. But it's always something like that too. But she's very dramatic. She is lying. Anyways. So.
Sorry for that. Back to this. She thought that she would answer if pregnant sister called.
She thought she would answer if pregnant sister called, because, and I said she was 11 hours away. She was 4 hours away. So
Oh, that's a big difference.
I know I put it in here. I'm so sorry.
That's a lot of
That's my bad.
driving
That
taken
is a
out.
lot of driving. She was only 4 hours away. My bad.
Okay.
I knew I put the time in there and it was later on.
You couldn't
Sorry.
remember, so you just made up a number.
Well, I, for some reason, 11 hours is what I was thinking it was, but it's not at all. She was 4 hours away, but regardless, 4 hours away and being overdue pregnant, you're not going to get in the car because, and it's January, so you just don't know what the weather's like
For
here in
sure.
Kansas.
For sure. I know it was like -12 the last few days from something stupid like that.
No, it was. We actually, our pipes actually froze for a couple days, and I was super annoyed with it. Like, we had cold water, but we had no hot water.
Both of our bathrooms were fine, but my kitchen sink froze up and I fixed it by myself. I was so proud of myself. We
Oh, yeah.
had no water at all, but then I completely cleaned out from under it, which I had been thinking I needed to do anyways, like actually clean
Did
up.
you
But
take a hair dryer?
at first I got a hair dryer and then I was like, this is stupid. So I went and got a space heater
Yeah.
and put it under there and like just turned the sink on full blast, but like nothing was happening. And then after a while it just came back
Yep.
on. I thawed my pipes.
There you go. That's what Dallas had to do. He had to thaw our pipes too. Anywho, that was Jennifer's portion, right? So now we're gonna go on to the morning of the 5th, same day.
Is the 5th the day that her best friend's tires were slashed?
Yes. All of this happened on January 5th.
Okay.
But that was in the afternoon. So you'll
Gotcha.
get,
So we're
yeah.
backtracking to the morning,
So
yeah.
we're backtracking to the morning. So the morning of January 5th. It was a normal day for Cindy, Jody's mother. Cindy had gone off to work, but she came home around 8 in the morning because her contact lenses were bothering her. And Jody was still home at the time. She was awake in bed, and Cindy recalled walking into her room, and her and Jody had like a brief regular conversation before she headed back to work. Jody and her mother, like I said, were extremely close. They had planned to have lunch that afternoon after Jody's dance class.
Okay.
So regular day. I
Yeah.
mean, just regular day. And at 11:51 that morning, Jody actually called her mother after practice and said that she had to cancel lunch. She's like, I want to go home. I just want to shower. Practice was pretty tough. I'm really sweaty.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to go straight to lunch feeling gross. So
right.
She's like, no problem. I'll see you later on at home. So she had actually planned to go hang out with a friend after her shower, and her friend lived like east of Arc City. So right outside of Arc City, still really close. And around 12:40 in the afternoon, Cindy, her mother, called Jody to check on her, but wasn't able to reach her. So think about the time. 11:51, Jody calls her mom and says, hey, I can't make lunch.
Okay.
In the school parking lot.
Right.
She's like, practice just got over. I want to go home. 12:40, Cindy calls Jody just to check in on her and be like, hey, are you on your way to your friend's house or whatever?
Right.
But she didn't answer.
So that's like less than an hour.
Less than an hour.
Okay.
So just shortly before this call from Cindy, Jody had arrived at home, pulled up to the mailbox like usual to check the mail, and a man came up from behind,
oh no,
forces her into the car, and drives away, abducting Jody.
Oh my God.
Her phone was
so
ringing.
She was at the mailbox?
She was at the mailbox.
So she pulled up to the mailbox and like got out at the mailbox.
Yes, and this will be very important. So.
Okay.
And she got pulled into her car. Let's get that out there. Her car.
Okay.
So she was abducted in her own car.
Oh my God. Okay.
Which is going to make this case just so crazy. So her phone was ringing nonstop from her mom.
Yeah.
From Lori, her best friend, and from her sister. And when her sister called her and Jody didn't answer, everyone knew that something had to have been wrong.
Right.
Because Jody's sister was so pregnant and she was supposed to give birth any day. Jody was like on call for her sister at all times to support her.
Right.
And, you know, as soon as they said that she was going to be in labor, like they were going to go to Jennifer. This
yeah.
is her first child. At 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Cindy was worried that nobody was able to reach her. It was just so out of character for her. She always answered somebody's call. And for her to not answer anybody's, it was, she just did not have a good feeling about this. So Cindy left work early to go home and check to see if Jody was home, maybe napping, maybe something, you know, was okay. But she just, maybe she didn't, maybe there was something wrong with her phone. Who knows?
Right.
Well, when she arrived, Jody wasn't there. Neither was her car. She did notice that the mailbox was still open, but there was no mail inside. And when she went inside the house, there was no mail inside the house either. So she was like, that is super weird. Something's wrong. Jody was supposed to meet her friend later that afternoon, like we talked about.
Right.
They were actually going to go help with a high school dance team. But Jody didn't make that appointment, which, again, wasn't like her.
Right.
Cindy even called Jody's friends, who all said they hadn't seen her since practice. Cindy and her husband looked for Jody until 6 p.m. everywhere in town, like literally everywhere. And it was 4 minutes after 6 o'clock that they knew it was time to call the police, and they immediately did.
Okay.
So I will say that the amazing thing about living in a small town, and in this particular case too, is that the minute they called the police didn't wait 24 hours before they started jumping on
right.
this particular.
They weren't saying, oh, you got to give it time before she's can be reported missing and all of that.
So because her parents had owned, you know, Arc City Glass, they were actually really good friends with the chief of police there.
Right.
And so they knew, everyone knew Jody, and they knew that this was definitely not like Jody. So they immediately started.
Yeah, that would be the good thing about living in a small town, everybody knowing everybody.
Oh, yeah. So they immediately started it. It was the same night police started questioning Jody's friends, any possible place Jody would have gone, and even a couple of the girls. So this is what's crazy. A couple of the girls from the dance team did say, like, they noted one thing from that day. And it was all the same thing. They recalled seeing Justin Thurber.
Fucking Justin Thurber.
So Justin had harassed several of the girls on the team.
He's such a
A
creep.
few of them, yes. So a few of them actually noted a few things about him where they felt very uncomfortable. One girl said that she left practice one day and had a rose and a note left on her car from Justin. She had never spoken to him before, so it was
Oh
really
no.
creepy. Lori made sure to let the police know that she was followed after practice one day and actually had to park at the police station. And then she said, "Hey, I didn't think anything of it until this afternoon when I was leaving practice and I saw the car again and it just so happened to be Justin's." Police noticed that Justin's car was parked by his parents' house the evening of Jody's disappearance. So they were like, "Okay, well, we're just going to go question him right now."
Right, because he wasn't in his car, he was in her car.
Right. So police knocked on the door and his father answered the door and invited him in to talk with Justin. So Justin's story to the police sounded super off to them.
Okay.
So he noted, this is so weird, right? He noted he was with a friend that afternoon. They drove to Winfield, Kansas, and they had met up with two people that his friend knew, but that he had never met before. And
Okay.
then he said that they drove around for a couple hours in a car that belonged to one of the guys he had met that day until the car got stuck on a dirt road near Cedarville and he started walking alone towards Ark City, where he eventually called his dad to pick him up.
What?
Right. So Justin's dad did confirm that he did have to pick him up. He said he was muddy. It was about a mile from
Oh,
Pali
God.
County State Fishing Lake.
Okay, he threw her in the lake. Sorry. Okay.
So Justin said that his friends drove his car back when they got unstuck, and after getting his car back, he went and picked up his paycheck from Subway where he worked.
Of course, he worked at Subway. I don't know why I said that. I like Subway.
After talking with Justin, police went and talked to Alexis Wortzel. The reason they went to talk to her is after doing a little bit of like digging into Justin's background, they found out that Alexis had been Justin's girlfriend for 3 years until recently.
Okay.
She actually broke up with him recently. So they were like, okay, well, we're gonna go talk to her and see, how Justin reacts and how he is and everything. So
Okay, it's so odd to me that this small town, nobody really knows much about Justin.
right. So like I stated before, he'd gotten in trouble from, like petty theft here and there,
Yeah.
but like nothing major. And he was just kind of like a quiet loner guy. He had some friends, yes, but
Right.
they were like not people that hung out with like the girls he was stalking.
Yeah.
They did go and talk to Alexis. So she told police,
Alexis. Sorry.
Alexis. She told police that Justin would often take her to the Kaw Wildlife Area, which was nearby, and they would like hook up there and hang out there until recently, before she had broke up with him. She said he started acting kind of weird, and she said one time Justin even said that this would be the perfect place to get rid of a body because it would just wash away.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's pretty weird.
So she was like, I don't know, he started acting weird. We would go there like 3 times a week. She stated a few things that did concern police too. She said that Justin let it slip one time months before that he remembers watching Jody swim in her pool at home and get dressed in her bedroom, but he was like 13 years old. Like he
What?
was like trying. He was trying to like joke about it and
It's a
like it
weird thing
was
to joke
nothing,
about.
especially to your girlfriend.
Right? What the
But
hell?
13 years old. So Jody's 19 now and Justin was older too. And so that would have made it the age that Justin was and the age that he said he started looking at Jody, 10 years of stalking.
Oh my God.
10 years. So Alexis did say that she broke up with Justin because in the few months prior to breaking up, he wanted her to perform like violent sexual acts.
Oh no, Justin, calm down, sir.
He wanted to strangle and bind, and she was not comfortable with it. She just said, "This isn't working out anymore," and broke up with him.
Right. Okay.
Jody was extremely loved by her family, as you know, we've talked about. And they were really, really struggling at home for answers from police. They didn't know where their daughter could be. And Jody's father finally decided, since he's not getting any answers yet, he's just going to go ahead and take it to the media to spread the word.
Yeah.
So he started calling local news stations to release information in hopes that somebody had seen his daughter. He released what she was last seen wearing, the type of car that she drove, which was a black Dodge Stratus.
Which had not been found.
No, it hasn't been found.
So my
And
question is why the police talked to Alexis and got all this info, and she's like, "Oh, it was really weird. He kept taking me to this place and saying this would be a good place to leave a body." And then why have they not immediately left there and gone to that place?
we're getting there. We're getting there. So, I'll tell you, they did not take it lightly, for sure.
Okay.
Her dad even said that the last time Jody was seen was a little after 1 in the afternoon on January 5th at Subway, but that was the last time her car was seen.
Oh, at the place where dude works. So he literally kidnapped her and then went to go pick up his paycheck for real, though. What the hell? Okay.
Police now have reached out to Justin's alleged friends that he was supposedly with the afternoon of the 5th. And get this, none of them confirmed being with him.
They're like, I don't even know Justin. He's
In fact, all of them were extremely pissed off that their names were brought up to police.
I mean, I bet. Oh,
They were
wow.
like, we were not with him. I don't know why he would say that we were with him. So, of course, police immediately were like, well, we're going to go get Justin and question him again.
Right. They're like, why do you love lying, Justin? Why?
Why are you a lying liar face? So, Justin is pulled back in for questioning, and officers drive him out east of town. So that Justin can show them where he was.
My question is, does he not think that his friends, like these people are gonna tell the cops that he wasn't with them, or like he didn't give them a
Maybe
heads up? Like,
he thought his friends would vouch for him. Who
right. He
knows?
didn't call and be like, hey, FYI, if the cops ask, I was with you.
I'm sorry, I love my friends and all, but
Okay.
if the police called me, or like even if they called me and were like, hey, I was with you, if the police asked, I'd say no, you weren't.
Bitch, I hadn't seen you in days.
I'm sorry, but I can't lie. Like that's awful. So anywho, they brought Justin back in
Yes.
to question him,
They
and they
said, why do you
actually
love
drove.
lying?
Yes, and they actually drove him east of town so that Justin could show them where he was, but he couldn't locate where the car had been stuck. There was like no tire tracks from where these tire or
So
where.
odd.
But he did do something stupid.
He's done a lot of
So
stupid things, but okay.
Justin did slip and tell the police that he had been on the college campus or nearby it that afternoon of the 5th. But he didn't state that he was there stalking the girls, obviously.
Right. Or slashing their
Well,
tires or.
police did not want him running if they let him go. So they were able to arrest him on charges of trespassing the college grounds
Okay.
so that they could hold him
Nice.
while they got more information.
Right.
So Justin was arrested on January 6, 2007,
So
but
that's like
his name
the next day, right? The day
the
after she was
next
abducted.
day. I'm
Okay.
telling you
They
that
were
these
on it.
police officers were on it.
Yeah.
He was arrested on January 6th. But his name was not a released to the public. They didn't want people, freaking out or even her parents saying, they got him if it wasn't him.
Right.
So after he was arrested, police went back to Justin's parents' house, asked if they could search his belongings, and they were able to collect the shoes that Justin wore the day when his father had picked him up that were caked in mud. So I will say that when they got the shoes, they were cleaned off.
Course they were.
His dad did say, yeah, they were really muddy, and he asked me to help him clean them off. I mean, I helped him clean it off.
trust his father to help him clean off his murder shoes?
He did not. I mean, it's not like his father knew.
Right, I know, but like that's
But
horrific.
so they were cleaned off. But the nice thing about shoes is it doesn't matter if they were caked in mud, right?
Right.
Shoe prints are a big thing in
No,
cases.
that is a thing, yes.
So we will get to that. Investigators are now able to start searching the Kaw wildlife area because, as Alexis stated, Justin liked to go there like 3 times a week and apparently hide a body, right?
Right. He like already said that that's what he was going to do.
So, in hopes to find some clues or whereabouts of Jody, they started searching the area. While searching the area, Justin's shoe prints were found along
Like
in the
everywhere.
mud.
They were just everywhere.
They actually were in a lot of places, but they also noticed that there was like flip-flop sandal impressions in the mud too. So they casted the area, but it was too dark, so they had to come back the next day.
Okay.
On their way home, some searchers passed the fishing area, and they had remembered that they heard about a possible suspect who had been in the area of the Kaw Wildlife and that it was muddy and wet, like
Okay.
near that area. So they were like, okay, well, what if we stop and check, nearby the water, the fishing area?
Okay, makes
So
sense.
there was a rest area nearby that they stopped at, and they noticed wet, muddy tire tracks off to the side, footprints. And so they were like, okay, well, we're going to go and check some of this out. So they went into the public restroom and they found a couple things. They found a piece of mail addressed to Cindy Sanderholm.
Oh.
They found dance shoes in one of the toilets
In the toilet? You're gonna flush the dance shoes away, bruh?
and a flip-flop sandal.
Okay.
So police were immediately brought back in
Yeah.
along with investigators. So they knew something bad was going to be found, obviously.
Yeah.
So digging in further, they found cut-off gray sweatpants nearby, a wallet containing Jody's license and social security card. Not long after, her tigerette jacket and black leotard were also located. They were located near a car floor mat and a seat cushion. So they started searching the fishing lake nearby at the Kaw Wildlife area. And Ark City asked for people to check garages and parking lots and hidden alleys for Jody's car, as they still weren't able to locate it.
Or the lake? Did he drive it into the lake?
So professional divers even started searching the lake, and they were unable to find neither the car nor a body. But the
Oh,
lake is
okay.
a large lake,
Yeah.
so it got dark again, so they had to pick it up the next day. So now this is 4 days. So the next day, not far from the area they were like the prior day looking for clues or anything, a few hundred yards, someone noticed a large brush pile. The closer they walked towards the pile, they noticed what looked like a hand sticking up from the brush pile.
Oh no.
So Jody's body was found. She was naked and completely covered with tree branches, leaves, and dirt. She was severely beaten, that every inch of her was bruised.
Oh my God.
And the autopsy actually showed she was beaten, repeatedly strangled, sodomized, and raped.
Oh my God.
According to the autopsy, Jody died about 5 hours after her kidnapping.
Oh wow, that's a long time to.
Yeah. Divers had been continuing to look for her car. And on January 9th, the same afternoon as Jody's body being found, just 4 days after she went missing, it was located 8 miles from her body at the bottom of Cali County Fishing Lake.
My question, I don't understand, why did he decide? I'm not actually asking, like you have an answer, but why would he decide to just cover her with brush instead of put her in the lake? You
I don't
know?
know. I don't know.
I mean,
That's
why
a
did he
good
decide to do any of this? Because this is
right.
awful.
I mean, maybe he decided to do it that way because you know that when bodies are in the water, they don't just sink.
Well, if he put a car, I don't understand why he didn't put her in the car. I don't know why I'm asking these questions.
I don't know. I don't know. So investigators did start searching for evidence inside the car now. Even though it was in the lake, you still can
Right.
find things. Inside, they were able to take some hair samples. They noticed that the floorboard and the mats were ripped out of the passenger side of the car. And if you recall earlier, I stated that along with her clothes, there was a mat and a car seat
Which
cushion.
was so weird to me. I wonder why he ripped those out.
I have no idea. Maybe she did.
Maybe.
So none of the hair found in the car was a match to Justin's, except there was one hair that was found inside the car that they sent for DNA testing. It was an arm hair,
Oh.
and it looked to be similar to a sample that police took from Justin's. Fortunately, though, they didn't need this arm hair sample as evidence because after swabbing under Jody's fingernails, along with other areas of her body,
Yeah.
there was a match to Justin's DNA. The prints from the shoe prints found at the scene were a match to Jody's flip-flops that she had been wearing the day that she was abducted, along with a pair of Adidas that were taken from Justin's house as evidence. The same shoes that were worn when he called his dad muddy and wet.
His murder shoes that he had his dad help him clean unknowingly.
Yeah. On January 10th, 2007, Justin was arrested now for aggravated kidnapping, rape, and capital murder. Justin would now await trial. And this particular case did go to trial in 2009. So I know that 2 years is a long time to wait, but this trial actually was pushed through rather
I
quickly.
was going to say that seems quick to me.
So it did not take long for all of the jurors to find him guilty of capital murder and aggravated kidnapping along with rape. It was unanimous. The verdict was unanimous. Justin was found guilty and he was sentenced to death. So Justin is currently on death row.
Oh, wow. I
He did.
didn't know that they had the death penalty in Kansas. I don't know which states do and don't, but.
Right. Well, Justin did try to get an appeal on grounds that he was intellectually disabled.
No, sir.
Well, the judge rejected that. The judge actually rejected a defense motion for a new trial because of the amount of evidence found. He stated that the crime was heinous, atrocious, and cruel.
Right. Like, there's so much evidence that you did this. Your DNA was under her fingernails. Like, come on.
Right. And he is still on death row waiting for his execution. This particular case, though, it kind of really rubs me wrong because it's 2022 and they still have not decided on a date for his execution.
Right. Well, I mean, usually people on death row sit there for 40 plus years.
Right, but
They end up dying on death row waiting for that.
they usually have a date that they set, whether it's
I don't
however many,
know.
you know,
Yeah,
I don't
I don't
know.
know.
So there were a few things that came from this particular case, I will say. In February of 2008, prior to his trial, the Kansas House of Representatives released a new bill called Jody's Law.
Okay.
So this law was actually put into place to provide more access points and help for stalking. There wasn't a clear enough stalking law in place for people. So this law actually allows law enforcement agencies everywhere to better protect citizens on a national level with stalking.
Oh,
So
okay.
not, and this is not just like in-person stalking either, but internet stalking,
Oh, wow.
etc.
Yeah.
So now if somebody files a complaint on stalking, police will not just like turn them away. There will be action taken immediately.
Good.
And this is crazy. This law was one of the fastest laws to ever go through the state of Kansas.
Oh, wow.
That's how serious they took this. So kudos.
Kudos, law people.
I didn't mention this earlier, but I wanted to put something out that I read. Like I stated, a friend of mine was close to the family, right? Well, during this case, Jennifer, Jody's sister, made like Facebook social media posts in hopes that they could find Jody and everything. So I wanna read something that really hit me. So she stated that thank God for small town gossip because a friend of Jennifer's, Mandy, had went around to a couple of local hole-in-the-wall bars to see what talk was going on. And she heard that Jody's car was seen heading out east of town a little after noon, the afternoon of January 5th. Well, when she had heard this, Jennifer, remember, was 4 hours away. Jason, Jody's brother, was not. So Jennifer immediately called Jason to let him know. And because Jason was closer than Jennifer, him and a friend knew where it sounded like they were headed. So they drove out to the Cali County State Fishing Lake.
Okay.
This is so sad.
Oh, God.
Jennifer claimed that she believed that Jody was there in spirit and did not want Jason to be left with something that could not escape his mind, because he went into the small restroom area with flashlights and new batteries in them.
Oh,
and
God.
as soon as he walked into the restroom, his flashlight died. Literally inches from his feet, where the police found the piece of mail that was addressed to their
Oh,
parents.
well, that was the day that she went missing?
The day she went missing.
Oh, my God.
And Jody, like, she had picked up that mail from the mailbox seconds before being kidnapped.
Right, right.
Jennifer actually stated, if Jason would have found anything else like that, or the shoes or anything, she had no idea what else he would have found that would have traumatized him.
Right. Oh, my God. That's crazy.
So she believes that Jody was watching out for him. So
Right.
it was,
Because she was already gone at that point.
It was
Oh, my.
super, super sad.
That is so
So
sad.
I will say, if you or anyone, not you, but
Oh, okay.
if you or anyone you love is being stalked, please contact the police. If you feel like you're being stalked, please contact the police. You can also reach out to the Stalking Resource Center. There's a Stalking Safety Planning Center, and any other organization. There's another one called Safe Horizon that you can reach out to, and they will also help get you help immediately. So,
That's crazy. That's an awful, awful case. I'm so sorry for the family, and he is a terrible, terrible.
Terror. And he's a
Ugh.
gross. Ugh.
He's a gross.
So,
Ugh.
he's a gross. Ugh. I also saw that they, and I'm not saying, you know, you have to go watch it or anything, because I haven't seen it, but they did release a Hallmark movie on this case. It's called Your Worst Nightmare.
A Hallmark movie?
A Hallmark movie on this case. So
Oh.
I'm not sure how close it is to the case or not, but
It
I
could be
mean,
just like loosely based on it. It's not like,
yeah.
okay. That's great. I don't know how I feel about that.
I know. It kind of makes me think of the Casey Anthony documentary thing that's
Ugh.
been really, I refuse to watch it.
I have not watched it. I don't
I
care
won't. I
what
won't watch
she.
it, because you know that when you watch it, she gets credits
She'll
for
get
that.
royalties or whatever.
Yes. And I refuse to give her anything.
No.
So, anywho, that is the case of Jody Sanderholm. And it is such a sad case.
That's so sad.
She
Wow.
was such a bright, beautiful girl, and had her life
Her
ahead of
whole
her.
life ahead of her. And this fucking, ugh. This fucking, ugh.
I'm
All
so
right.
glad that something good came from the case, though.
Yeah, totally.
So,
all right.
yeah.
So that's that on that. Follow us
That
on
is
all the
that.
stuff. Go to
All
our
the stuff.
website. All the stuff's there.
SerialHolicSisters.com.
That is right. I can hear my husband snoring on the other side of this wall. And so I know I'm going to have to deal with some menacing eyebrows soon, because he's going to wake up and they're going to be all disheveled.
In this menacing eyebrow. I can hear my children stomping.
All
I get
right.
it.
Well, let's spin it. Let's end it. Let's end it.
Let's be awkward. All
Okay.
right.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, y'all. It's Crystal.
And it's Samantha. And this is Serialholic Sisters. That hurt.
What hurt? I was like, why are you making that face?
My mic was like, my headphones were up as loud as possible. So it's like you're yelling in my ear. Try that again.
Okay.